is Susan Robb for Teachers for a New Era. I'm talking with Lori Benton, who's general manager and publisher of Capstone Fiction. And Lori has worked in the children's book field for quite a number of years at Harcourt Publishing, and has also worked for William Morrow and other companies. So I wanted to ask you about Capstone.
Hi, Susan. Thanks for having me. Capstone Publishers has been around for 20 years, and I've known some of the people that have been the principals in the company for all of that time, and I've always been really interested in what they were doing. They're very forward-thinking. They specialize in school library market. They do really creative, compelling nonfiction for a pretty set age range, which is about 6 years old to 12 years old, and have really, in that 20 years, have made themselves the leaders in the school library market. 6 years ago, they started a fiction line, and it has really burgeoned within the company. It is really directed toward reluctant readers with high interest and low vocabulary counts. They've also really specialized in graphic novels. That's kind of the heart and soul of what they're doing. And of course, all the content is completely classroom appropriate, so any teacher can give those books out with complete confidence. They're always a very forward-thinking company, and always, I think, very fearless. Many companies can claim to be small and agile, but they truly are. If they see something happening, they get right behind it and start going after it. So I've just always watched with admiration what they were doing, and I couldn't have been more thrilled to be asked to join them and head up the fiction group.
Now, tell me a little bit about the high-low area, which is an area I've known for a long time. And you, at one time, you heard quite a bit about high-low from lots of different publishers, lots of trade publishers. Now, it seems that it's more the terrain of more specialty education publishers. Is that true?
I think so, but I also think that, honestly, it's a semantics issue. The term high-low has been replaced with reluctant reader. And I think that's really kind of what it comes down to. But while it has great appeal for boys and for a struggling reader who can quickly gain confidence as a reader because they can work their way through a book, it also has so many applications now that are more relevant than ever, especially with a nation with English language learners coming in and that are populating our schools. Teachers are struggling, and these books are perfect for that market as well.
And graphic novels, I think, has had an impact in that area, too, because you don't have a lot of text in that. So what's your view on the graphic novel area? Because that's certainly one that a lot of people have moved into.
Certainly, if you think about the progression of learning to read and how it starts with a board book, and then you go to picture books where you're really learning to decode, and you're suddenly realizing that the text is referencing the pictures. And then really the graphic novels are a grown-up extension of that. So for someone who maybe missed those first steps, this is a quick entry into that and can help them, again, become very confident readers. Comics themselves are something that kids are familiar with and they've seen. So that for them is familiar terrain, and that always builds confidence for readers.
Now, how does it work with Capstone? Is there a lot of publishing of other companies' work, or is everything originating there?
The majority of it is originated in-house. We have imported some things from primarily the UK, but there are also some series that we've licensed, such as characters from DC Comics. We have Batman, Superman, and just launched Wonder Woman, and we have coming out next year Super Pets, which is a new property from DC, and we also have books from Sports Illustrated Kids in a licensing agreement, and we also have more licensing agreements coming, which we'll talk about later. Stay tuned.
So, and then what about authors and illustrators? Can people approach you with ideas for books?
We absolutely are acquiring. One of the things to know about Capstone, though, is that makes them successful is most of the work is owned solely by them. We try to retain all rights. There is some flexibility, but that gives us the ability to do do the books in many formats, so it services that school and library market fully. One of my charges is very much to protect the core, keep doing what we're doing and have done so successfully, but also expand into three key areas. Two, age range, going to an earlier age range. They have an early learning initiative going on at Capstone right now. And also in to expand the age range out to the older levels. We're also expanding into the trade market. We are there a bit, but we're looking for more presence there.
Now, we had mentioned in the beginning about the digital area that you had worked some in that, and then also, but that's an area that I gather is evolving at Capstone as well.
Capstone started a digital division last year and ramped it up very, very quickly. The beginning of this year, just almost coinciding with my arrival, they purchased a software development company. So that's been brought in-house. There is a team of very busy guys that I walk past every day hunched over their laptops. And Capstone has an interactive library, so books already online. They'll be expanding books online, the number of them available, but then they're also working into classroom applications and software, as well as smartphone software for our titles. It is, I think, one of the most critical things any publisher is facing now. Digital is here. It's not going to go away. It's a new binding, and it just gives another platform for the work. It will not replace the printed book. It's an augmentation. And again, it's really akin to when paperbacks came on and everyone was terrified and predicting the death of the industry, but in fact, it expanded it. So I see the same here, especially for children's books.
And I know a lot's been done in the educational area with digital. Places like Korea and other areas have done a lot, even in the educational area, trying to use it as a tool. So do you have thoughts about some of what we may see happening more in education with digital?
I think there's a lot that's being sorted out right now. A lot of money's been invested in technology in the schools, but again, like as often happens with schools, everyone's making their own decision on a building level. So there are whiteboards, there are individual computer stations, there are all different permutations of how the technology is being used in the classroom. It will take a while for things to shake out into something that's a little more common. I believe it's going to be the smart board, but I can't be sure. I also know that a lot of schools have purchased the smart boards, put them in, but not trained teachers in how to use them. And it's also taken a while for content to catch up with the technology, that as often happens. So I think everyone's very busy developing technology that will work on a variety of platforms, but I really see the smart board as a way of, if you just think of it as it's the new edition of the big book that was so popular, and it's just a new way of presenting it.
Now another thing you had said was about content, which I've talked about too, and sometimes with authors and illustrators I've spoken to, people bristle at the idea of being a content provider and distinguish that on their side, you know, being an author and illustrator and don't want to think of it as content. How do you think about that?
I think of it both ways. Obviously, you can't have content without the creator. And that's really what it comes down to, and that is, as publishers, that is our job to give them the platform and the atmosphere to be able to create that. But at the end of the day, it is content. And I do think that it's become much more a way that people think and talk about it now because of the digital piece. It's suddenly realizing that as publishers, what we own is content. And that's really our inventory and our stock. And okay, it may sound really unsexy, but we all feel just as passionate about it. It's just a new language.
And one more question related to that. In thinking about content, then it brings up the question of who's the first provider. So is it television? Is it, you know, film? Is it games and all of that? So one question is, why books, which I imagine is part of the argument to be made now, at least from this side of the fence, why do you see it make sense as books being first providers in a lot of cases, or what would be a type of content? How would content be distinguished of which place it comes out of?
It's a really interesting question, and honestly, I hadn't thought about it, although I think I have in a way. I'm going to back up a couple of steps and just give you my fundamental philosophy of life, which comes down to what may sound like an incredibly zealous statement, but it really is, I believe passionately and firmly, that there is nothing more fundamental to the human psyche than the call to story. It is absolutely what binds one person to another, one civilization to another, one era to another, one generation to another. So we truly can't survive as a civilization without story. Our job as children's publishers are that first encounter with story and the way that we present it. So that's where I think that really, like, board books are key. That's really their first encounter. But that's not true. Their first encounter is, you know, with their mother, who's going to sing and talk to them, and that they're building story instantly. What we're doing is trying to preserve it in a format that they can begin building their own story from. So that's where I can't bear the thought of a child curling up, a baby with a computer or a smartphone. It's really that tactile feel of the book. And then I think it evolves from there. I think then, as you're developing books for older readers, that's where the idea of, like, where that comes from. It's sort of exciting because it can come anywhere. You know, it could start as an ad on the side of a bus that grows into a graphic novel that then becomes a television show, or any other permutation in between.
So it'll be interesting. I mean, I think we're all watching it come from all directions, and I think, you know, companies are thinking about it that way. If people want to find out more about Capstone's List and that, where should they go online to look?
They should go to capstone.com. It's capstonepub.com. And there's all kinds of information. You can see the full list. You can also be directed in how to submit. We are very much acquiring. Love to hear from you, see what you want to do. We have all kinds of new and exciting things that we're doing.
Well, thanks, Lori.
You're so welcome.